This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasuthi. It is our 3 p.m. segment, our Live and Learn segment. And today in the show, with us is for his monthly show. And this is probably the last one I'm going to do with you, Rajiv, as co-host.
Our host
is coming back in September. Rajiv Rishakaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, joining me for today's show. And we are going to be discussing, we're going to be doing a 101 on SOXO. When this topic came to me, I thought to myself, just SOXO is SOXO, what's the big deal? Then I spoke to a whole load of people in the organisation, most of whom don't really understand what SOXO really is.
It's the same thing I've encountered ever since I got into politics. People keep coming in and out of my office wondering why they can't claim benefits, why they didn't qualify and their friend got it and they can't get it. And I think there's a big gap in information out there.
In trying to understand what SOXO really is. So Rajiv is going to be co-hosting with me today. And we have been very privileged because in the studio with us is the SOXO chief executive himself, Dato Sri Dr. Muhammad Azman, Dato Aziz Muhammad. Welcome to the show, Dr. Azman. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
You know, Dr. Azman sort of grew up in SOXO, didn't you, Dr. Azman?
Okay, as some of the administrator there, which they are already there for last 30 years.
Okay.
So I can consider myself as new kid on the block, which I came to SOXO in 2001.
Okay.
Just slightly more than 18 years.
Slightly more than 18
That's
years.
That's not a new kid on the block.
Not at all, Rajiv. No way.
And I was still in school back then.
Yes, 2002. I'm not going to do the calculations. No, Rajiv, you're obviously the youngest person in this room. But you are a medical doctor.
Yes, I'm a medical doctor.
Okay, and what got you into SOXO?
That was a good question. You see what happened. Initially, I've already engaged and I have partners. I've almost opened up my own clinic. But there was an offer in the newspaper that I just tried to attend for the interview and finally I got the job. So I was wondering in dilemma, should I join SOXO or should I continue with my clinics? But when I decided, let give a try. Then I just accept the post. I was there and when I'm there, I think that there's a lot of things that I need to do. There's a lot of challenges there, which I always like challenges. And this is where I decided to sell off my shares with my partners and stick with SOXO. Because in SOXO, I was the first medical doctor employed by SOXO. So in medical department itself, there's no proper guideline on assessment. There's no guideline. Even there's no proper medical report format given or drafted by SOXO. And also there's no list of occupational disease guideline at that point of time. So that is where I believe that I can contribute. I need to contribute from my background expertise as occupational health physician. And I did also request to go for disability assessment. Then I was certified by the American Board of Independent Medical Examiner. So that is how I move on in SOXO. And I started the first medical assessment guideline. I start the occupational disease guideline. And also I started the training for the doctors on disability assessment, which we don't have at all at that point of time. Because that is a question, I think, raised by our Yang Berhormat, why some get, some don't get. But previously, worse still, there's no proper guideline on assessment. And if I know the doctors, if the doctors is the treating physician for this patient, then their chances of getting SOXO benefit is far higher than other contributors, which I think it is wrong. It can be, some medical board is very lenient, some is very strict by the book, and some is in between. So I think That is not acceptable. We need an objective assessment. So that is where we come up with the first guideline in 2002, and we train our doctors. And until today, all the specialists, either your orthopedic surgeon or your physician or ENT specialist, you need to be trained, you need to be certified. So that is what we have done. And that is I won't consider that as my legacy, but I believe that that is some of improvement that that I've done, and I believe that there's a lot more that we need to do.
All right, Dato' Sri. But maybe before we continue the nitty-gritty of claims and approvals, maybe we can let's start with the basics. Like, what's SOXO? Is it a savings plan? Yeah. Is it an insurance?
It's a social security organisation. I mean, it was set up in 1971, am I correct? And I'm just thinking from 1971 till the time you came on board in, what, 2002, did you say?
2001.
That's a long... many years in between that. That's the time I was, from the time I was born till I had my second child, to be very, very clear. That's how many years in between. What was SOXO before that? I mean, and what were you, what was SOXO for? How were claims made?
I think there's no difference about what we do since 1971. You see, we started with the Act, was enacted in 1969. And this year will be our 50th anniversary of our Act. And the services started in October 1971. The approach and what we do from day one, in from 71 till today, there's no difference, there's no changes. It's still the same. And when you ask question, what is SOXO? Is it an insurance company? Is it a savings scheme? And I just want to share that we have transformed from 71 till today. And we started with only one scheme, the Employment Injury Insurance Scheme that was in 71. Then to that, we add our Invalidity Pension Scheme in 1974. And throughout the process, we have actually add, enhanced, amended, I think more than 10 times of SOXO Act, just to make sure that we cater to the need of the workers and also to the landscape of social protection in Malaysia. And if you ask what is SOXO, basically, we are a statutory organisation under the Ministry of Human Resources. We administer, enforce and also implement three main acts. The Employment Social Security Act 1969, the Self-Employment Social Security Act 2017, and last but not least, the Employment Insurance System Act 2017. And what is SOXO? Is it an insurance company? No, we are not. We are governed by Act. We are governed by Parliament. And the concept of SOXO is pooling of resources, sharing of risk. That is SOXO, where you contribute to SOXO, and if accident happen, if injury happen, or if you become disabled or you become invalid, that is where, from this pool of fund, we will, based on what your contribution, to provide you the benefits. So SOXO provide benefits either in cash or kind. Not only we are giving just benefits through the pension scheme or to lump sum payment, we also have other services. For example, we also provide the rehabilitation, which this is where, if I want to share with you, SOXO stand on three main pillars. The first pillar is the prevention. We also embark into prevention because, if possible, we don't want an accident to happen. Then the second pillar is the rehabilitation and return to work. And the final pillar, then only we'll consider the benefits payment. Because for me, the last thing that we should consider is to provide benefits for them to stay away or just to stay at home by receiving benefits. What if we can prevent accident? That is the best approach, best form of social security. But if can't, then we need to rehabilitate and make sure that they stand on their feet and go back to work, return to work.
Sure. If you have a question, in the studio with us is the SOXO Chief Executive, Dato' Sri Dr. Muhammad Azman, Dato' Aziz Muhammad. If you have a question, the number to call us is 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, so I'm getting it slowly now. It's prevention, it's rehab, and retention, getting you back to work. And the third one is benefits for work. Now, you mentioned something of pooling of resources and sharing of risks. What does that actually mean?
You see, when the contribution of a SOC, so either from the employers or employees, is very, very minimum. Very, I would say that very small amount of your salary ranges between 0.4% for employment insurance system to 2.25%, which if we look into employment injury, the contribution was 1.25%, solely borne by the employer, which 100% contributed by the employer. And under invalidity is 1%, which shared equally. And if accident happen, we have the process of assessment and provide benefits. So we cannot just use only based on your contribution. If we want to compare, the analogy is the car insurance. When you buy car insurance, if accident happen, your insurance is just very small amount. And if, for example, total loss of the car, I mean, where you get this money? It is from other contributors who buy insurance that you share the risk. This is the same concept of SOC. So where we hope that everybody to stay healthy. We hope that everybody to stay safe. No accident, no disability. But if accident happen, or, I mean, they become disabled, or death happen, then you need some form of protection to the dependents.
Okay. So I'm just curious, because you process over 100,000 new claims and more than 500,000 ongoing claims every year, and that's a lot of claims.
Yes, it is.
It is huge. And you and EPF are the only two security protection with mandatory contributions at the moment. Is that enough though? To cover all these claims efficiently, and whether or not it's enough?
Yeah, you see, when you compare with EPF, EPF is more on old age saving. It comes from both employers and employees, and it goes to your person. I mean, I would say that your personal account, and from there they have return from their investment and so on. And once you attain age of 50, then you can get your accounts to withdraw from the accounts too. And once you attain 55, either you can go for monthly and so on. That is totally different from SOCSO. And when you mentioned about whether with this small contribution, can we continue to provide the same benefits? Yeah, I think the sustainability is an issue to us. But looking at the prudent financial management, looking at, we have also investment arm within SOCSO. At the moment, I would say that we are still quite healthy in terms of the fund that we have to provide such kind of benefits.
So I think then maybe the analogy that SOCSO is somewhat like an insurance service to all the workers. It's compulsory, but it's basically a pooling of risk. We all put in small contributions every month, but then it's there to cover us in case of accident. Dato' Sri, is the contributions enough to cover all these payouts, these benefits, all these claims that take place, or is the government topping up money?
No, we don't get any allocation from the government.
It's purely the contribution
from the employers and employees, and also from our investment return. And when you ask whether is it enough for us to sustain, we have done our actuarial review. If it seems that currently, if we look into that two scheme, the employment injury insurance scheme is very healthy. We can sustain. We have no problems in terms of sustainability issues. But when we look at invalidity, we are running at loss. If we want to compare with, if we're running an insurance company,
you're running at a loss.
We are running at loss. But where we get the shortfall, it is from our employment injury that cross-subsidize the invalidity. So if we want to compare, looking at employment injury is very healthy. But for invalidity, today, if we just take simple analogy, we collect R1, our payment is about 1.65.
Wow, that's a big gap.
So where we get this shortfall of 65, it is from the employment injury and also from our investment return. But looking at long term, looking at our actuarial review, we need to really look, and also we need to consider whether can we continue to retain the contribution of invalidity at 1%. That is where we are seriously looking into this.
Are we seriously looking at increasing the payments that the employees have to make? This is something that the listeners are going to be very interested
in. That one is up to government, because we have done our actuarial review. We have the report. We have also shared this report with the minister. And we hope that there will be some movement looking into long term. If we're just looking at short term, yes, we can still provide. There's no issues of whether we will cut or we will reduce or we will come up with a stringent approach of processing the benefit, but not at this point of time. I would say that I would don't be. I mean, you know,
don't be worried just yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, looking at your claims, what do these numbers tell you about injuries and deaths resulting from accidents in this country? I mean, I'm thinking that is what you should be focusing on, and you want to look at, you're aiming for zero accidents, but is everyone on board working towards that? We'll come back and find out. Up next, Dato' Sri Dr. Muhammad Azman, Dato' Aziz Muhammad, the SOXO Chief Executive in the studio with me and co-hosting with me today, Rajiv Rishakaran, the Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman. If you have a question for him, give us a call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us on BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. Co-hosting with me today, Rajiv Rishakaran, the Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman. Also joining me, Dato' Sri Dr. Muhammad Azman, Dato' Aziz Muhammad, the SOXO Chief Executive. We're doing a 101 on SOXO, trying to find out what it actually is. Dr. Azman has been very clear about the fact that SOXO is about prevention, rehabilitation, and sending people back to work, as well as looking at benefits payout at the end of the day. And this is all about pooling of resources and sharing of risks. I think Rajiv and I are a little concerned that your payout is 1 to 1 in 6, 5. And I think you have explained where you get that shortfall from, where you pulling that money out from. We have a question here from someone who says he'd like to remain anonymous about this SOXO topic, but he'd like your comment on the SOXO program's rate of success towards the welfare of the workers, because to date, there are still a lot of individuals who are going public for donations to sort of sustain their well-being. What are your thoughts on that?
You mean they go public on donation?
For asking for donations. Because yes. Obviously it's not enough.
That is where I think we need to change the landscape of the social protection in Malaysia. Currently, we have this social protection for those either they are self-employed, which we only focus for e-hailing driver, taxi driver, and also for the bus driver. And the other one is the long-existing social protection for the private workers, contract of service, which we are looking at a total number of about 7.1 million workers. So they have some form of social protection. If we look at the layers of social protection, you have three layers. The top part, I mean, the top group is where they can afford to buy insurance. The second layer is where under social protection, which mainly private workers or the self-employed, as I mentioned earlier, that they have this social protection, social safety net. And the third layer is where they get their assistance from the social assistance, from the welfare department. But I believe that in my recent paper in the Regional Social Security Forum, we need to look at the social protection from womb to tomb. We need to really change the understanding of every stakeholders that we need to provide social protection at every layers, whether you are B20, B40, up to top level.
Is there a plan in place for that?
Of course, we are in the process of looking at our blueprint of social protection, which we are working closely with EPF, with the Ministry of Women Welfare, and also with the EPU under Prime Minister's Office to really study and, if possible, to revamp the social protection landscape or the social protection coverage in Malaysia, because we want to make sure that every Malaysian citizen have some form of protection, whether it comes from the tax base or it comes through the contributory system that what we have, or even looking at the old age scheme, because currently, we notice that I think more than 50%, I don't have exact figure, that Malaysian, even if they have their saving in EPF, they will run out after 3 years to 5 years.
Okay, we have Muriandi on the line. You have a question.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Okay.
All right, YB and Rusty. My question is just specific to my family. I have a brother who is for psychological issues, so he is in a home, and he had it for a few years, and the last working salary, he was in a small town, so his salary was about 800 ringgit or something. And his wife also died immediately after that, a few years ago. So he's getting both SOCSO benefit from death of his wife as well as his own this thing. And they amount to about 800 ringgit or something. Now, we can't take care of him because there's no other family members, so we keep him in a home. And the cheapest home that he is psychotic, so he's also resistant to taking medication. So he has to be kept in a home. Now, cases like this where the home charges between 1,000 to 1,005 and his total, both his and wife's SOCSO benefits only amounting to, what, 800 ringgit? And we as family members, we are topping up and keeping him home, keeping him at the home. So what I'm finding is sometimes because he's tied up to the salary, I think 50%, I don't know what's the percentage. There's a certain this thing. But I don't know. This is just peculiar to my particular brother's case. It is so insufficient for someone who's totally unable to work. He has severe medical mental issues. So I just want your opinion in terms of what flexibility as a SOCSO allows for cases like this.
Okay. Thank you very much, Muriandi. Well, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Muriandi. I don't want to frustrate you, but the first thing is, I think to get salary of 800, this is below than minimum wage.
I think this was a few years ago.
Okay, fine. Yeah. All right.
The last drawn salary last before drawn salary. He started claiming disability.
But when you mentioned about the both benefits that he get from his own disability plus the survivor's pension from the wife death, is only total up to 800. Mm-hmm. In SOCSO, we are bound by the Act. On how we come up with what is the quantum of payment. It is not that we look at what is your situation,
the disability.
Or disability. Mm. And also, I think as what you mentioned, true enough, our invalidity pension ranges between 50 to 65%. The minimum qualifying, we will provide about 50% of your last drawn salary, not more than 4,000 ringgit, because that is the cap of the contribution. Mm-hmm. And maximum you can get about 65%. And even there is calculation if you are primary dependents or secondary dependents, and if you have, children, that will be total payment. If you don't have children, it will be only 3/5 and so on. But whatever said and done, when we provide that benefit, as I mentioned, I don't want to frustrate you, but this is based on the calculation that we look into the existing Act.
Okay.
So, We hope that when we look at the minimum wage now, and also if you want to improve or increase the quantum of payment, it cannot come just with the existing contribution that we have or the existing fund that we have. Unless if they want to change the quantum of contribution or increase the wage ceiling, this is where they will get more in terms of the benefits that we're going to provide.
So
later.
Maybe we should take a moment to just clarify for the listeners who are not familiar. The invalidity insurance, basically that means that if you are not able to work anymore.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're working and something happens to you and you're not able to work anymore, you get between 50 to 65% of your last drawn salary. But you still kept that salary at 4,000 ringgit.
Yes.
And that payment, it comes every month, regardless of your expenses.
Yes.
So regardless of what your hospital treatments might be, what your physiotherapy might be, whether it's low or high, but it's based on the last drawn salary rather than the expenses incurred based on the current setup.
And with a ceiling of 4,000.
With a ceiling of 4,000,
I think in simple words, it doesn't base on your self-liabilities.
It doesn't base on your liability, it's based on the contribution basically.
Yeah.
Okay, and so whichever way to manage expectations is that we will have to find a way to meet the other cost.
I think
cost.
One of the...
We have another question.
Okay, let's go to the other question.
Shafiq, you have a question. Yes, go ahead.
I would like to clarify whether SOCSO is only for accidents or is also covered for other natural causes, for example, death because of any disease or perhaps disease and then it makes you not able to work anymore.
Okay, thank you very much, Shafiq.
All right, I think this is where I need to make it very clear. Underemployment Social Security or the Act 1969, we have two main schemes. The Employment Injury Insurance Scheme provided the benefits if accident happened in the workplace or on the way to work, coming back from work or during lunch hours. That basically is Underemployment Injury Insurance Scheme.
So anything that happens outside of that, not covered?
If accident happened out of work, that is not covered.
Okay.
But Invalidity Pension Scheme, this is the scheme what we call as 24 hours coverage. Mm-hmm. If they become disabled because of accident out of work, they become disabled, they become paralyzed and so on. Or if they have some form of disease that lead to them to cannot continue with working.
So let's say they get a stroke and they can't work anymore.
They get stroke.
That's
and
covered.
That is also covered, provided certified by medical board that they are invalid. That is where they will get. And the other one is if death happened before age of 60. For example, you are the contributors, and you have heart attack at workplace, or you have heart attack at home, or you have a stroke lead to death.
Yes.
The dependents will get survivor's pension. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make it very clear. There's two type of scheme. Under the employment, the Employment Social Security Act 1916, Employment Injury Insurance Scheme, which only during work or the commute to work, coming back from work, and the invalidity is 24 hours coverage, include death.
All right. Yeah. Is there any exclusions for that? When you said the invalidity is 24 hours, is it just cover everything?
Yeah, there's no exclusion for invalidity provided you have minimum contribution, which you need to have at least 24 months within 40 months or one-third of your working life. Mm-hmm. That is the calculation whether you get the minimum pension or the maximum pension.
Dr. Hasman, just to clarify, this is a mandatory contribution. That means all employers have to contribute to SOCSO.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
Yeah, you're right.
Is anybody exempted from this?
The government.
If you ask me, only at the moment, the public servant, which unpensionable, they are not covered by Social Security. And even looking at what out there, the domestic helper, they are not covered by the Social Security scheme. Even for self-employed, we have started with the taxi, e-hailing, and also bus driver. We hope that the government will consider to extend this to other self-employed, but that is in the pipeline. It's up to the government to decide on the policy.
What about homemakers?
Homemakers at the moment...
Get the husbands to pay.
No, at the moment, no. But this is one of the decision by the minister to also provide some social protection for the homemakers.
Yes.
But that is also in the pipeline. But I cannot comment here because it's still at the policy level.
So this is the
level.
Ministry level.
Okay. Yeah. We have another question here. If you get injured at the workplace, can you sue the employer in the courts for damages?
Yes. If you look at our Act, that is very clear in one of the clause that if accident happen, death happen because of negligence of employers, you cannot sue the employers because your employers already provide you with the social protection. They have actually contributed. They contribute for your social protection. As I mentioned, the Employment Injury Insurance Scheme, the contribution 100% comes from the employer. So that is the reason why you cannot take action on the employers if negligence happened because of, or if accident happened because of negligence by your employers.
That is negligence.
Or if they never provide personal protective equipment and so on. I mean, if you become, for example, deaf, you become deaf because of noise at workplace, or you have lung disease because of exposure at workplace, you cannot actually sue your employer.
Okay, all right then. Question, if you remove a tumour, can you claim from SOCSO?
Okay, this is where I think the question by Yang Bohmat just now, there's a lot of where they come to Yang Bohmat Centre to ask why some can get, some cannot get. My simple response to this is we have many categories of citizens, our contributors. One, those with disease can work but don't want to work. They just use an excuse of disease not to work. One who have disease, which is quite severe, but they have very strong willpower. They still want to continue even on wheelchair. And the other one is where they have disease, but they manage to get through and get the benefits. Mm. So this is where they start to compare. I'm also similar situation with other colleague that I get or I don't get, he get. But whatever it is, at the end of the day, if you use the medical reason of having cancer but remove, you are out of the situation or critical situation, or you are no more not in remission, or you don't have disease, there's no reason for you to request or to ask for these benefits, because you're healthy. Because when we always want to encourage workers to return to work, we want to encourage workers to go back to work. That is why we have our return to work program. We have tremendous rehabilitation services. Even we have our rehab center in Malacca to provide rehabilitation to make sure that you go back to work. Because the best form of social security is not by receiving benefits from SOCSO. The best form of social security is to stay healthy and to stay in your workplace. That is the best form of social security.
Okay. So just to clarify for the listeners, it's when you're disabled beyond the ability to go to work, that's when you start getting that benefit.
Yes.
Okay.
But must be certified by medical board. It's not SOCSO. Always the misconception is they think that SOCSO is unfair, SOCSO is the one who decide. No, we also have an independent body to decide whether you are disabled,
will be doctors in an independent body that assesses your situation and then they decide.
Yes.
So the officers at the counter, they have no say whatsoever.
They have no say.
Because that's, I think, one of the misconceptions. Yeah. You know, if you have the right connections and whatnot, you get in or get out. And we just want to clarify today that there's that independent panel of doctors that does this assessment.
Yep, and the objective is to get you back to work. All right. So, Robert Tan, you have a question.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Robert.
I would like to know, when a person is injured during work, his first claim that he can make is loss of daily salary claim, isn't it?
Yes.
And then the second, then there's another claim known as the temporary partial disability claim. Is there such a claim?
No, temporary partial, if let's say that you complete your MC, then you need to be assessed for a short period. Then you can get temporary partial. But most of the time, either you receive your temporary disablement benefit based on the MCs that you receive from, or from the doctors.
Yes.
Once you complete your MC, then we'll bring you to the medical board to decide for your permanent disablement benefit.
But I had made such a I had benefited from these two
claims. Okay.
Before, but now I'm wondering. Many of these workers, they do not know that there's such a thing as a temporary disability claim. The SOCSO help them to make the claim.
Of course, today we don't wait for you to come. Anything that reported in either in the electronic media or in the news, we will capture that information. The next day, we will send officer to assist the insured person. So we don't wait. If you tell me that there is some of them who are not aware, please do inform us. We will definitely assist you. We'll send officer to assist you to make sure that nobody is out of the system of this social security protection.
Okay. Thank you very much for that, Robert. We'll be back right after this break. If you have a question, once again, give us a call, 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. When we come back, we'll get Misha's call on BFM 89.9. Afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn. Rajiv Rishakaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, co-hosting with me today, and Dato Sri Dr. Muhammad Azman, Dato Aziz Muhammad. So the SOCSO Chief Executive in the studio with us, trying to understand what SOCSO really is. Now, we have very little time left with Dr. Azman, so I'm actually going to ask you this question. Today, Dr. Azman, Malaysia is making its way to becoming an ageing nation. And with that, we're going to see a lot more elderly employees coming back into the workforce. Will they be entitled to the same types of benefits?
Yeah, no doubt that we look into the pyramid of the aging status actually is reversing. It is going towards having more aging society. If you ask me whether they are covered under the social protection, yes. If they continue to work after age of 60, they will be entitled, or they can be covered under the Employment Injury Insurance Employment Injury Insurance Scheme, where for this Employment Injury Insurance Scheme, there's no age limit. As long that you're working
and contributing,
the employer have to contribute and you will be covered. But for Invalidity Pension Scheme, it stops at the age of 60. Once you pass age of 60, you're not entitled for the benefits and you cannot continue to contribute.
Even if you're working and
Employment Injury Insurance Scheme. So we don't collect any contribution for Invalidity Pension Scheme after the age of 60.
Okay, we have a question here. What about the new scheme, Employment Insurance Scheme? Why do some people still need to contribute for this EIS even if we're not eligible to claim at all? How is SOCSO going to use this for those people?
If we look at employment insurance system, that is totally different from the employment or from the this social security protection. Employment insurance, EIS, employment insurance system, is to look into replacement of income if you lose your job. That is totally different from the intention or the objective of social security protection. And even if you start to contribute, we don't collect your contribution after age of 57 because we also have qualifying period for the employment insurance system. Mm-hmm. And those who contribute under employment insurance system also stop at the age of, if they come after age of 57, they are not entitled for the benefits. So it applies also same for the employment insurance system.
Okay, all right. And last question, I suppose, before you leave. What are some of the common misconceptions about SOCSO?
Oh, there's a lot. I think the first thing is the misunderstanding of the concept. They believe that I've already contributed for umpteen years. Why I cannot get back my money? As I mentioned, this is pooling of resources, sharing of risk. You buy car insurance for 20 years. Once you don't have car, you don't get back your money, because that is the simple analogy of how it works.
This is not EPF. Okay.
So provide old age benefits. If accident happened after age of 60, if you're still working, for example, you have a lot of security guard after age of 70, accident can happen.
Yep.
You're also covered. They believe that I'm only covered after age, only up to age of 60. Then I think the other misconception is they always compare SOCSO with the private insurance. We are totally different. As I mentioned, that private insurance is more, the concept is contribution. It is defined contribution. You buy your premium, then from there, you know what the benefits that you will get from the contribution that you contribute. And the other one is they always compare SOCSO with EPF. They thought that we are same as EPF. It's defined contribution. We are defined benefits. We are not defined contribution as EPF. And I think the other one is always a misconception, as what mentioned by Yang Berhormat, the difference. Or they always compare with their peer groups or with other co-workers, why one can get, one cannot get. But we must understand there's always means test looking at whether can you get your invalidity pension or not, which decided by the independent body. So, and also the concept of whether I want to work or I don't want to work, or because of medical reason, can you continue working? So there's a lot of, areas which is I mean, they always challenge within the system that we have of looking at this long-term benefits or the pension
system. Would you say your ultimate aim is to provide a social safety net for vulnerable groups?
Of course, that will be the ultimate goal of looking at the social protection.
So we have a question as to why is it you don't want to look at people from higher income groups?
No, of course, we definitely want to provide, because the reason when we started social protection is for those of lower income
group. Lower income, which are more vulnerable.
Yeah, more vulnerable. But for those higher income bracket, they can afford to buy insurance. But today, I think everybody want to be under this system, our social security system, because they can see the value, they can see the benefits that what we provide.
Now we have Perka B40, we have My Salam and all of that. How does that come into play with SOXO?
I don't want to comment on that, but I hope that we can complement each other. But we have started what Perka is doing today. We have started that long ago in 2013. We introduced our health screening program to look at screening of non-communicable diseases. Reason why we want to get them early before they go into complication. We don't want them to go into complication and come to us and apply for invalidity. We want them to stay healthy. That's why we've started their health screening program. So Perka is, I think, coming up with a similar program, which I hope that there is no duplication and we can complement to make sure that more vulnerable group is covered or will get the screening
process. We're going to have you on together with MOH, put you here together so we can all have one conversation and sort this out once and for all.
Yep.
Last question, do contract workers, are they covered under SOXO?
There is no exception as long that you come under the definition of contract of service, you have to be covered. There is always misconception that I have temporary workers, I have contract workers, I have part-time workers. As long there is process where you monitor, you govern them, there's contract of service, you need to register and contribute for the workers.
So thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Most welcome.
Explain. There are a million other questions which we can't really answer, Rajiv. We'll probably have you back, Dr. Azman.
No problem. I think probably you allocate more than 1 hour next time.
We will, and we'll bring Dr. Zol in as well, our Minister of Health, and we'll have this conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
Rajiv, join me. I will need you to
I would love to be here. I would love to be here for that.
Would you have a message for us, Dr. Azman?
No, I hope that whoever out there, just to make sure that whether you are the contributors, you have registered, just check. You can check online and make sure that you have some form of social protection, because this is where when we do our enforcement, about 13 to 14% of the workers out there, they are not in our list of registration. Simple reason, maybe the employers neglect or they refuse. So please, we just want to make sure that every citizen in Malaysia have some form of social protection in this country.
Rajiv.
All right. So I think thank you very much.
If you don't get,
Call, I think we don't have to tell listeners this. They always call the elected reps and they're not happy with the answers given by SOXO.
Yes.
But I think today we get some clarity and we probably need to do a bit more of this. Get the understanding out there what actually SOXO is all about and what's the coverage like and the limitations that come with it. And I think these are very practical limitations because, SOXO operates on the contribution. So we've got to be fair. If we pump in this much of money, and that's what we're going to get out of that social protection.
Yeah. Thank you both very much for joining
me. Welcome.
Rajesh Rishakaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, and joining us, SOXO Chief Executive Dato' Sri Dr. Muhammad Azman, Dato' Aziz Muhammad, in our 101 series on SOXO on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.